بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. Last night in the Tarawih Salah, the 8th juz of the Quran was recited, which consists of Surah Al-An'am in the first half of Surah Al-A'raf. In the first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا. That some people are so obstinate and so stubborn that despite them asking for different proofs that they want to see, and they claim that they will believe if these proofs are shown to them, Allah Ta'ala says that they are so obstinate that they will not believe. وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ. Even if we have to send down the angels to them, and they have to testify to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the Nabi of Allah. وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى. Or if the dead, as they had asked for their forefathers, if their forefathers have to be brought back to life, and they have to testify that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Messenger of Allah. وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا. Or everything which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had informed them of the unseen, if we have to bring all of this, including Jannat and Jahannam, in front of them, and they see it with their eyes, مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا. Then too, they will not believe. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Except if Allah ta'ala wishes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is consoling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Nabi, you do not have to worry, because this is not specific to you only, but in all times, all ages, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that amongst the people of the Nabi, there were those who were bound to disbelieve and to reject him. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا. And for every Nabi we have appointed an enemy, شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنْسِ وَالْجِنِ, who are the shayateen, be it of humankind or of jinnah, يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا. And they would whisper to one another speech which would outwardly seem very beautiful, but all of this was just to deceive. So, O Nabi, in your time also, if there are some people who are not believing, then you shouldn't become very grieved, because this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there will be some that will accept, and some, no matter how many signs they see, but because of their obstinacy, they will not believe. Then further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the Quran which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا. That the word of Allah, the speech of Allah, meaning the Quran Kareem, this is complete, and it is perfect in terms of its truthfulness. Whatever information is contained therein, prophecies that are contained therein, it's 100% true. وَعَدْلًا, and it's the most just, it's the most perfect law book. All the laws that are contained in it, for all ages, for all times, they are most perfect. Up until today, any command of the Quran is 100% full of benefit and is totally in accordance to what man needs and what man requires. And if anybody tries to change it, then they will not be able to change it. لا مبدل لكلماته. There can be none who can change the word and the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the command that وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنًا. That give up and remove, make an effort to remove from yourself outward sin and inward sin. Outward sin that we all know about, zina, killing, unjust killing, etc. So a person has to rid himself from all of these type of sins. And similarly inward sin, sins to do with the heart, to do with the inside, the greatest of which is kufr and shirk, and thereafter jealousy, pride, etc. So both these type of sins, the person has to make an effort to cleanse himself from, and make an effort to remove himself from these type of sins. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that وَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. A person who is dead, spiritually dead in kufr and shirk, فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. Then Allah ta'ala brings him to life by giving him hidayat and guiding him towards the truth. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا. And Allah appoints for him, grants him a light, the spiritual light of iman, of hidayat, with which he walks around amongst people. Can such a person be كَمَا مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. A person who is in a multitude of darknesses, the darkness of kufr and shirk, disbelief, following one's desires. Can the two be equal? Never, they can never be equal. A person who has the light of Iman and the light of Hidayah, definitely he is not equal to a person who is in the darkness of Kufr. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. When Allah intends to guide a person, then Allah ta'ala expands his chest, expands his bosom for Islam, for Hidayah. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا. And the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to guide, Allah wants to leave him in his deviation, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his chest tightened and narrow. كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. As if he is climbing into the heavens. So when a person is guided, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him this quality of شرح الصدر, where his chest and his bosom now expand to accept and to take the truth. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu has asked that what is the sign that a person can see that he now is getting the شرح الصدر, his chest has been expanded. And they were informed that three qualities constitute شرح الصدر. One is التجافي عن دار الغرور, that a person turns away from the abode of deception, meaning from the dunya, is now disinclined away from the dunya. والإنابة إلى دار الخلود, and he now is inclined and turning towards the abode of eternity, meaning towards the akhirat. And the third quality is والاستعداد للموت قبل نزوله, and now a person starts preparing, making preparation for death before death comes to him. So these three qualities constitute شرح الصدر, shows that the person's bosom has now been expanded for the nur of Iman and Islam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the 10 commandments that all Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, from Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, they had followed and they had instructed the people with. These 10 commandments, according to some, are also the 10 commandments of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, say, ta'alaw kam, atlu ma harrama alaykum rabbukum, I will recite unto you what your Rabb has forbidden upon you. The first is, Allah tushriku bihi shay'a, that do not ascribe anything as partners to Allah. That is tawheed and the oneness of Allah, and staying away from shirk. Secondly, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and being kind to parents in all ages. This is the command that a person should be kind to his parents, should do good to them. Number three, وَلَا تَقْصُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاءٍ, and do not kill and take the life of your children out of the fear of poverty, out of poverty. In previous times, people would physically bury their children alive, so the child then will enter Jannah. But in our time, sometimes the child is not buried alive physically, but spiritually a child is killed. A person deprives his child of dini education, of dini ta'aleem, out of the fear of poverty, that if I have to grant my child with dini education, dini ta'aleem, I'll have to cut short the hours of going to school or doing extra activities for the sake of the maktab, so I can't do this here. So then we deprive them of the maktab education. Later on, we don't want them to get dini education, we don't send them to become alims, etc. So they are deprived of this dini education. The result is that now the child is also dead. Not physically dead, but spiritually dead. He doesn't know anything of his deen. In fact, he doesn't even know the basic aqaid of his deen. So now the child has become spiritually dead. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it that in every time the Nabi had commanded his people, don't kill your children out of the fear of poverty. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ, we will provide for them, just like how we also will provide for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the raziq. Allah ta'ala is the provider. Education is not a means for a person getting his sustenance. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. The first command is, do not go near, do not draw near to immorality, be it outward acts of immorality or inward acts of immorality. Every Sharia had the command of a person being just, a person being chaste, and protecting himself from immorality. The first command, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, do not unjustly take the life of a soul. The sixth command, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ, that the wealth of the orphan, it should be looked after, it should not be consumed and devoured. And The seventh command, eighth command, wa awful kayla wal mizana bil qist, when weighing or when measuring, then you should do so with justice. You should give in full, should not cheat, and decrease for people their rights, what they are due. And wa idha qultum fa'dilu walau kana dha qurba, when you say, when you are testify to something, then you should always be just, even if it is to the detriment of your own family members. But always uphold justice. And the last command, wa bi'ahdi Allahi awfu, and fulfill the fact and the pledge which is taken with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa anna hadha sirati mustaqiman, that proclaim to the people, this is my path, the straight path, so follow this path. So we should follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every command that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given to us, there's only goodness in it. And then further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That, O Nabi, tell the people, my worship, all acts of worship that I carry out, my loving and my dying, is solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, in everything we do, we should have ikhlas and sincerity. In the salah that we perform, in other acts of ibadah that we carry out, it should be done with ikhlas and sincerity, only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so much so that even our loving and our dying, thus we should resign it to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I have no other desire. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to happen to me, this is what will be my desire. Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu used to say that it is my heart's desire that every person should recite this ayat abundantly and remind himself, and he should make this ayat, so to say, his motto of life, how to love his life, that everything of mine is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Surah Al-A'raf. A'raf means a high wall that is between Jannah and Jahannam. In the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding the A'raf. The surah begins with Alif Lam Mim Sad. These are the huruf and muqatta'at, the meaning of which is known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And generally after these huruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Qur'an. So here also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Qur'an that was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The person should wholeheartedly accept it. He shouldn't have any misgivings regarding anything that is contained in the Qur'an. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's duty was to warn people by means of this Qur'an and to remind them so that they can accept. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the day of Qiyamah and the weighing of deeds on the day of Qiyamah. وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَ إِذِنِ الْحَقِّ. The weighing of deeds on the day of Qiyamah, this is the truth. It's not something, it's not some fanciful imagination, but it is something that will really take place on the day of Qiyamah. A person, all of his deeds will be weighed. So your attention is brought to the fact that deeds will be weighed rather than counted on the day of Qiyamah. So a person should make an effort to create weight in his amal. And how do we create weight in our amal? By doing it with ikhlas and sincerity, and by doing it with the good qualities, the quality of ihsan, where we are aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person, instead of doing a lot of amal, he should focus on perfecting the amal that he is doing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the incident of when shaitan was thrown and cast out of Jannah, when he was commanded to prostrate to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, and then he refused, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then told shaitan that descend from Jannah and go down onto the earth. So shaitan then asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that grant me, he wanted to stay forever, to remain alive forever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, this you cannot have this, but I will give you respite, I will give you chance until the day when all souls will be brought back to life. Before that you will be given death. And then so shaitan said, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, in a very rude way and disrespectful way, he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that because you have caused me to go astray. So this is very rude and disrespectful. And this is a sign of deprivation of a person, that the person doesn't have adab and he doesn't have respect. The quality of shaitan, that he didn't have adab and he didn't have respect. So shaitan said, because you have led me astray, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ, I will waylay them and I will sit on the straight path and wait for them, and I will come to them from all sides, مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ, from behind them, from in front of them, from the left, from the right, وَلَا تَجِرُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ, and you shall not find most of people being grateful. So this was what Shaitan had promised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this, ulama explained that shukr is a very, very great quality, and it is an antidote to all the attacks of Shaitan, all the different attacks of Shaitan. Person brings shukr in his life, and this will protect him and it will dispel all the different attacks of Shaitan. So we should make an effort to create in ourselves the quality of shukr, gratefulness, being grateful for the different bounties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us with. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the first attack that Shaitan carried out on man after he was sent down into this world, when he whispered to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa radiallahu anha, they were prohibited from drawing near to the tree and eating of the fruits of the tree, and Shaitan told them that the only reason you have been prohibited from eating from this tree is that because by eating of its fruits you would become of the malaika, of the angels, and you would also be able to stay and live forever. And he took a qasam on the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Adam alayhi salatu wasalam couldn't believe that someone would take Allah ta'ala's name and lie. So Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa radiallahu anha ate from that fruit of the tree. And what happened after that is that badat lahuma sawatuhuma, their private area became exposed. So the first effort of Shaitan was to make a person eat the wrong thing. And the result of the first effort of Shaitan, attack of Shaitan on man, was that his clothes came off and he became naked. So this is a effort that Shaitan makes until this day to rid people of their clothes, to make people come into nudity. But man's fitrah that Allah Ta'ala has made, the natural disposition that Allah has created man upon, is that a person wants to cover himself. That's why as soon as their private area became exposed, Allah Ta'ala says, طَفِقَا يَخْتِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ, that Adam and his wife Hawarat alayhim as-salatu wasalam, they tried to cover themselves. How? By taking the leaves from the trees of Jannah and fixing it and placing it onto their body, they tried to cover themselves. So naturally man wants to keep himself covered, and Shaitan makes an effort of the opposite to cause man to rid himself of his clothes. And then further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. In this surah, four times Allah Ta'ala has addressed man by this title, Ya Bani Adam, O the children of Adam, which also is unique to the surah. Generally Allah Ta'ala speaks to people, Ya Ayyuhan Nas, O people, O Ya Ayyuhan Ladina Amanu, people of Iman, etc. Ya Allah Ta'ala addresses, O children of Adam. And from the four addresses, three of it is to do with clothing. So Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا, we have sent down for you clothes, يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا. And two benefits of clothes have been mentioned here, and this is the objective of clothing. Number one is to cover a person, to cover a person's private area. Therefore, the clothes that a person wears, he should ensure that it does cover a person's private area. Sometimes a person is wearing clothes but it's not really covering or concealing his private area properly. For example, a person wears very tight clothing, so now the whole shape of his body can be seen. Women generally wear like this, but you see men also. So a person sometimes comes to the masjid, now he goes into sijda and he doesn't leave anything now for a person, everything is exposed. So a person should see that his clothing should cover his private area. And the second benefit, the second objective of clothing, warisha, is for beauty and for adornment. So a person is allowed to wear clothes that brings beauty to himself, beautifies himself, so long as it's within the parameters of Sharia. For example, men have been prohibited from wearing very bright colors, etc. Or a woman, she can, within the confines of her home, or if she is amongst other women, but when she is going out, then she cannot. So a person should keep these guidelines with regards to clothing in mind. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on another part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ, especially when you come for salah. At the time of salah, at that time you should take your means of adornment. A person should come and present himself in the court of Allah, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a respectful way, and he should wear his best clothing. It shouldn't be that a person, example, Fajr, he comes with his pyjamas, or he wears bermudas, shorts, or certain types of t-shirts, etc. Those type of clothing, if we have to go and meet someone of a respectful someone having high standing in society, a politician or a president or someone, we wouldn't dress like that. Now when we are coming in front of Malikul Mulk, the King of Kings, then we find it that a person is dressed disrespectfully. This is not befitting at all. A person should come respectfully for Salah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains about A'raf, which the surah is revealed, that on the day of Qiyamah there will be certain people that their good deeds and their evil deeds are equal. So because their good deeds are not more, they will not be able to enter into Jannah. And because their evil deeds are not more, they will not be sent to Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for a temporary while, will keep them on the place of A'raf, which is between Jannah and between Jahannam. When they will look at the people of Jannah, then they will desire to go into Jannah. And then when their gazes will be turned towards the people of Jahannam, they will make dua, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Oh Allah, save us from being amongst these people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally will decree that they will be entered into Jannah. So those are the people of A'raf. And then the surah ends with incidents of a few Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and their nations, the incident of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and his people, and Hud alayhi salam was his qawm, Ad, Salih alayhi salatu wasalam and his nation, the Thamud, and Lut alayhi salatu wasalam was his nation, and the people of Madian, and Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these different Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam incidents, how they invited and gave da'wah to the people, called them towards one Allah and obedience to Allah, but the people refused to accept and they were destroyed in different ways. Allah sent the wind on some. Some of them were seized by a terrible scream, and some of them, fire was sent down upon them. They were destroyed in this world. So this all serves as a lesson for men, that if you do not obey the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rasul of the time, then you also might be destroyed in this world. If not in this world, then definitely for you is destruction in the Akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to take lessons.